Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to worship you and the time to lay down our burdens, our fears, our sins, our frustrations. And Father, we lay them at your feet. And we pray that as we open your word, that your Holy Spirit would continue to strengthen our faith, renew our faith, give us faith if we've never had it before. Do a work in us today through your word. And thank you, Lord, for all that you are and for all that you've done for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. It was Independence Day, but there were no fireworks or sparklers or parades or floats. There was no Statue of Liberty. There were no hot dogs, no apple pies, no Chevys or Fords. On this day, there wasn't even patriotic songs like Yankee Doodle Dandy or the Star-Spangled Banner. It was Independence Day, but it wasn't even the 4th of July. It was a celebration of not even 1776. Instead, it was Independence Day 259 years prior to 1776. A German monk of the Augustinian order, he started this celebration. Quite an unlikely candidate if you've ever met monks. For years, he had only known bondage, captivity, and personal prison. The monk felt an obligation to go entire weeks without eating, without speaking, without seeing the light of day. But taking a hammer in his hand on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. In this courageous act, Luther announced to the world that he was on a journey towards freedom. This Declaration of Independence was driven by the words that Jesus shares with us in our text in John chapter 8. The truth will set you free. The Jews back in the days of Jesus, they responded with this Declaration of Independence by simply saying this: we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. Oh, so you mean when they were in Egypt before Moses let them out, they were in bondage for over 400 years, but they weren't slaves of anyone? You mean when the Philistines invaded their land and regulated even the way their axes and sickles were sharpened? Those mundane details, but they weren't slaves of anyone? You see, this statement, we've never been slaves of anyone, is a flat-out denial of the facts. It's a dream, a delusion. You've seen the same prisoners. The alcoholic who won't admit to his or her drinking problem. The man or woman who refuses to talk about their 3-month-long affair. The man who admittedly rejects help to stop his addiction from work, work, work. You've seen yourselves caught in the same denial, the same dream, the same delusion. The fact is, none of us in this room can say that we have never been slaves of anyone. Jesus hammers this home to us when he says this: I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. If you've ever sinned, even once, you're in bondage to that sin. and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you've sinned, and I have too. So that's us. We're trapped in sin. We're locked in habits we cannot beat. We're bound in bondage that we can't break. And worse yet, just like the Jews of Jesus' day, don't you and I often live in denial of that fact? We like to echo the words just like they did in John 8. We've never been slaves of anyone. But sin makes everyone prisoners. Each one of us is powerless to break free on our own. The late radio commentator Paul Harvey once told of an experiment involving a chimpanzee where scientists were determined to teach written communication to this chimpanzee. So for 14 years, project directors labored with this chimpanzee. They provided symbols in its cage that would enable the chimpanzee to form syllables with the symbols. And finally, the day arrived when it seemed like the chimpanzee was going to make a sentence. Word got out. Other scientists heard about it. They flocked into the room. They watched breathlessly as symbols were formed into syllables, and then those were formed into words, and those words were formed into a sentence. And at last, the first message from the world's most pampered, most cared for, most patiently trained chimpanzee was about to come forth. The scientists could hardly contain their excitement as they pressed around the cage, watching and waiting to see what the history-making sentence was going to say. What did the chimpanzee communicate? Three words. Let me out. Now, as ironic as that chimpanzee's cry was, when we finally admit to our bondage, it strikes at the heart of our human cry. And we say at times too, let me out. Some of you are in a cage of challenging struggles, like high anxiety or unpredictable anger or biting sarcasm. Some know the dark world of pornography. Some of us are chained to a grudge that will not leave until there's revenge. Still others are fighting an inner battle with a skeleton that in your closet that keeps rattling louder and louder and louder. Whatever your particular sin, it's left you in a cage of despair, darkness, and even death. Your heart cry has become, let me out. Make no mistake, the devil wants to lock you and I up and throw away the key. If it's the truth that liberates and frees, then it's the liar, the devil, who captures and kills. And in the same text that we're looking at today, just a little bit later down, John 8, Jesus describes this liar. He says this, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So day after day, we scream hopelessly, let me out. Yet the liar keeps whispering to you and me, there's no way out. Do something drastic. Cut and run. Throw in the towel. Give in, give out, give up. And Martin Luther knew this voice well. He writes in his Great Reformation hymn, the old evil foe now means deadly woe. deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. When we believe Satan's lies, friends, we find ourselves going deeper and farther and longer until we are bound, tied, and fettered. But Jesus heard our cry. He heard when we said, "Let me out." And he responds with this promise: "The truth will set you free." Our striving and planning doesn't make us free. It doesn't help us achieve liberation. Our best efforts, how witty, how great we are, it's of no help. Instead, it's the truth of Jesus that sets you free and sets me free. And John's gospel is full of fireworks as it celebrates this destiny-altering news. Jesus Christ is the world's only liberating truth. He's the one. The Word became flesh, Jesus tells us, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus tell us? I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the truth that sets us free. To Nicodemus, who was caged in the hopeless laws of the rabbinic Judaism of the day, he said this, Jesus said this to him: God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To the woman at Jacob's well, who was bound into one broken relationship after another, Jesus said to her, the water I give will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. To the man born in the prison of blindness, Jesus tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And to Mary and Martha, who were mourning the loss of their brother Lazarus, Jesus tells them, I am the resurrection and the life. To Peter, who publicly, openly, and willingly denied Jesus three times, Jesus says to Peter, take care of my sheep. But freedom has a price, does it not? Of the 59 men who put their names on the Declaration of the Independence, the United States of America, 5 were captured and tortured before they were killed. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons. And 9 fought and died in war. Freedom has a high price. On the night before his death, Jesus was bound. He was taken to Annas, the high priest. He was slapped. He was spit on. He was sent then to Caiaphas. Then he was blindfolded. He was struck in the face with fist. He was beaten by the guards. Then the next morning, he was taken to Pilate, who passed him on to Herod. Herod dressed him in a purple robe, but to make fun of him, not to do it in a respectful way. Back before Pilate, he was then crowned with thorns. Stripped, he was beaten again, just to the point of death. Struck, spit on again, he walked the Via della Rosa. And finally, he was stretched out on 2 pieces of wood. He had iron spikes put into his hands and his feet. His friends had run away. His possessions had been gambled away. His strength was ebbing away. Even his father had turned away. All he had left were 3 words. It is finished. But with those 3 words, the bondage, the chains that we were tied into because of sin, they were broken. The sacrifice was complete. Death was defeated. Paradise restored. It is finished. A cry of defeat? Not at all. It was a cry of freedom because of what Jesus has done for you and me. That's the truth. The death and resurrection of Jesus means you are liberated from the liar. And your prison door, the chains that you were bound into are broken. Luther experienced this truth. And he wrote this. When I understood it, and the light of the gospel came into my soul, the gates of paradise opened, and I walked through. The same liberating power sets you free from the condemnation of your sin, from the pain of your past, from the worry about the future, no matter what is to come. No one can take this freedom from us. No law can stop it. No power on earth or hell can destroy it. And there's more freedom to come. Because as we continue to grow in faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, His liberating power unlocks more and more prison doors in our lives. And finally, every follower of Jesus will experience the ultimate freedom as Jesus comes back on that final day and He resurrects all of us. That's the freedom that you and I have because of Christ. This message rediscovered by Luther and celebrated on this Reformation Sunday is loud and clear. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free in every way. Full, final, forever. And guess what? The Son, Jesus, your Savior, has set you free. And He set you and I free so that we can, as we're released from our bondage, we can tell others in our circles of influence about Jesus and His grace and His mercy, how He set us free. We can give that freeing message to those in our families, in our homes, at our offices, in our schools, as our peers are with us. We can share this message with those around us. Jesus has given us that privilege and that opportunity to share the hope, to share that when people are in bondage, they don't have to stay there because Jesus removes the chains. He brings forgiveness and grace. So today, friends, this is your Independence Day because of Jesus. You're free. You're forgiven. Celebrate that freedom. Amen.